Welcome to episode 410 of Troubadours and Raconteurs with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. On this week's episode, we have regular contributor, playwright, poet, puppeteer, professor, baker, and candlestick maker, the incomparable Kitty Bell Burbank. And we discuss being reliable, puppets, Trudy and John, pushing through the unpopular, getting there. Voices, a great conversation with Kitty Bell Burbank on this week's episode. We have an EW essay titled, Oh Man. And we share five poems by the great Lawrence Ferlinghetti. Three are read by our associate producer, Dr. Michael Pavese, and two are read by me. And we have another poem titled, Note to an Administrator. All of this, of course, will be imbued, infused with the wonderful energy of several great tunes. It is so nice to have you with us. Let's get to it, Hepcats. Episode 410 of Troubadours and Raconteurs. Ladybug on Ladybird, she has the word, I am sure you heard. From winter comes spring, and we all are looking for the next big thing. The speakeasy late-night rendezvous, right into mid-20th century post-World War II vapid pursuit of some sort of progress. More stuff, less rebuff. About the machinations that get us them. Most just pretend it will never overturn or upend. Everything will be even better just around the bend. Spoken word means something, uniquely so when it is wrapped up in jazz melodious affront, speaking truth right into the brunt about how society is beat the way it is going down. As this noble act of love for country and community turns into tribal hippie and yippie, then yuppie, ultimately communicated as the jingle, turn that frown upside down. but have no fear. This man with the top hat and white beard kept the good stuff going at his bookstore in San Francisco. His penchant for justice and life lived is a beacon for anyone lost in the storm. I remember hearing Lawrence Ferlinghetti for the first time, reciting a work on a stage between musical instruments and microphones at The Last Waltz, questioning everything I was raised on with such insight and humor. It made me think about this whole world and my place as a teen up to this moment still. Oh, man.
Step right up, step right up, step right up. Everyone's a winner, bargains galore. That's right, you two can be the proud owner. The quality goes in before that name goes on. One-tenth of a dollar, one-tenth of a dollar. We got service after the sale. How about perfume? We got perfume. How about an engagement ring? Some for the little lady, some for the little lady, some for the little lady. $3-4. We got a year-end clearance. We got our white sale and a smoke-damaged furniture. You can drive it away today. Act now, and receive as our gift to you. They come in all colors, one size fits all. No muss, no fuss, no spills, you tired of kitchen drudgery. Everything must go, going out of business, going out of business, going out of business sale. 50% off original retail price, skip the middle man. Don't settle for less, how do we do it, how do we do it? Volume, volume, turn up the volume. Heard it advertised, don't hesitate. Don't be caught with your drawers down. Don't be caught with your drawers down. You can step right up, step right up. That's right, it fillets and chops, dice and slices. Never stops, lasts a lifetime, mows your lawn. And it mows your lawn and it picks up the kids from school. It gets rid of unwanted facial hair. It gets rid of embarrassing age spots. It delivers a pizza and it lengthens and it strengthens. And it finds that slipper that's been at large under the chaise lounge for several weeks. And it plays a mean rhythm master. It makes excuses for unwanted lipstick on your collar. And it's only a dollar, step right up. It's only a dollar, step right up. Cause it forges your signature. If not completely satisfied, mail back unused portion of product for complete refund of price of purchase. Step right up. Please allow 30 days for delivery. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. You can live in it, laughing it, loving it, swimming it, sleeping it, living it, swimming it, laughing it, loving it. Remove embarrassing stains from contour sheets. That's right. And it entertains visiting relatives. It turns a sandwich into a banquet. Tired of being the life of the party. Change your shorts, change your life, change your life. Change into a 9-year-old Hindu boy. Get rid of your wife. And it walks your dog. Doubles on sacks, doubles on sacks. You can jump back, Jack. See you later, alligator. See you later, alligator. And it steals your car. It gets rid of your gambling debts. It quits smoking. It's a friend. It's a companion. It's the only product you will ever need. Follow these easy assembly instructions. It never needs ironing. Well, it takes weights off hips, bust, thighs, chin, midriff. Gives you dandruff. And it finds you a job. It is a job. And it strips the phone company free tape central trial exchange. Gives you denture breath. And you know it's a friend. And it's a companion. And it gets rid of your traveler's checks. It's new, it's improved, it's old-fashioned. Well, it takes care of business. Never needs binding, never needs binding, never needs binding. Gets rid of blackheads, heartbreakers, psoriasis. Christ, you don't know the meaning of heartbreak, buddy. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Cause it's effective, it's defective. It creates household. It disinfects, it sanitizes for your protection. Gives you an erection, it wins the election. Why put up with painful coins any longer? It's a redeemable coupon, no obligation. No salesman will visit your home. We got a jackpot, jackpot, jackpot. Prizes, prizes, prizes. All we're guaranteed. How do we do it, how do we do it, how do we do it, how do we do it? We need your business. We're going out of business. We'll give you the business. Get on the business end of all. Going out of business sale. Receive all. Free brochure. Free brochure. Read the easy to follow assembly instructions. Batteries not included. Send before midnight tomorrow. Terms available. Step right up. Step right up. Step right up. You got it, buddy. A large print giver than a small.
Hello.
Kitty Bell Burbank, is that you?
Yes. Am I becoming more reliable?
You've always been reliable.
But you used to send me a text like, are you ready?
Yeah,
now. Now you're just like, you know I'll be here.
That's correct. See? You're you're the consummate professional.
Well, I've had to work at that.
Haven't we all?
Yeah.
It's
it's a compliment.
Yeah, it's definitely a compliment. You know, I don't worry about you at all when I know we're scheduled for a TNR conversation. Regular contributor, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, that's right. Kitty Bell Burbank here on Troubadours and Rock On Tours.
I'm old school.
You are. You are old school. You still use the dial phone, probably. You probably have one of those stashed away somewhere.
No, but I don't. But I do have a house phone.
Do you? You have the landline still?
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. They said it wouldn't cost less if I got rid of it. And I'm a sucker and I believed Comcast.
Yeah, don't believe them. I know,
but,
me too.
I like having it in case, I don't know, in case I lose my cell phone, in case, I don't know, somebody says, do you have a landline? Yes, as a matter of fact. The only thing I use it for is to call my cell phone when I can't find it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, puppets. I just got a new puppet. I'm really happy about that.
Oh, you've been hanging out with John Bromberg lately?
It's funny, but I haven't. But, I mean, he's definitely had an impact on me.
Yeah, John Bromberg, if people don't know, he's something else, to say the least. He's a great artist. He lives in northeastern Pennsylvania, originally from New York City, I think Brooklyn. Puppets with Strings, is that the name of his?
Pictures Moved by Strings.
There it is. Yeah, I'm tired today.
Anything can be a puppet.
Right.
The words that he paints in white letters on black cardboard are puppets.
Yeah.
Anything that is manipulated.
Yeah, and he uses that to speak truth to power and to have some fun in the process. He's something else. Yeah.
Well, I'm working with some third graders from the Hazleton School District, and we are writing a devised theater play. On the computer, because we're meeting virtually, and puppets on the computer work really well.
Do they?
All you have, is this little camera, and what can you put in that box?
And you use like puppet. You do puppet theater over like a Zoom call or whatever, Google Connect.
I started with a stuffed owl, and kids really like animals, so I got a new owl puppet for Christmas, and I was like, okay, I need more of these. So I just got a turtle who I'm gonna call Trudy.
Hey, that's John's main squeeze,
right? And nobody gets why I picked the Trudy name.
Is that why?
I asked on Facebook for ideas to name the puppet, and I got, people were like coming up with turtle names. It was great. Everybody has a suggestion, you know. And somebody said Turdy the turtle, and I was like, no. But that kind of sounds like Trudy.
Yeah,
and I think Trudy would be honored to be the namesake for my little turtle.
She's a wonderful person and a great thinker and artist in her own right, you know.
Her artwork is amazing. Have you seen it?
Yes I have.
So intricate, so interesting.
So do you give these puppets voices, special voices when you're entertaining or when you're trying to teach a lesson?
I haven't really gotten that far yet.
No.
I don't know. I have trouble with voices. I mean, I make funny sounds just talking in real life. So the idea of, you know, trying to sound like a character, like I've never done impressions or anything like that. I'm not really an actor. I'm a storyteller. I'm a poet. I'm a playwright, but I don't really pretend like I'm a good actor because I know that I just don't have those skills.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned what you were, because I didn't do that yet. You know, I was going to say playwright.
Did
poet.
I cut you off?
No,
I was so
no.
excited to talk to you.
No, you didn't cut me off. It's organic. I love it. Playwright, poet, professor, baker, candlestick maker, puppeteer. The list goes on. Kitty Bell Burbank. Yeah. And, you know, I would say, Kitty Bell, a suggestion, if you will, humbly put out there, just imagine somebody that you want to emulate via the puppet, and then try to make that voice come out of your throat. You know, like if you're thinking of Trudy Gerlach, who you named the turtle after, what does she sound like to you? And then just go for it. Who's going to know? And something different will come out of your throat than your own voice, and it might work. That's what I would do, at least.
I could try. I mean, I'm a good narrator. I'm good at reading stories, and I do kind of take on voice changes when I read a story, you know? So I could just take that to the next level one of these days. We didn't really get there yet. We just started working on this play. It's going to be about animals who have to move because of a climate change disaster. And so first we have to establish their world, then the disaster happens, then they decide they have to move. Act two is really like that journey, and they might get to a place that's not like they think it's going to be the place, but then it's not going to work out either, and they have to keep going. You know how you just want to get there?
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have to keep going. So then in the third act, they will settle down to a place, and they will meet other animals along the way.
Well, you know, I love it. I was just watching something last night, and I'm on Poor and Company, you know, and, you know, Christiana, I think I'm saying, I'm on Poor. She has her own show.
It's on PBS sometimes, right?
Exactly. That's where I was watching it. And she was talking to the president of the small little island near the Marshall Islands. I don't remember the name of it. It starts with a K. And they know that their island is going to be lost because of climate change. They know it. And they're trying to deal with how they're going, you know, how they're going to respond. They're not pretending it's not going to happen. And they're asking for assistance from places like the United States. So I don't know. Maybe that might be a good place to research, I was thinking.
Yeah, that's what we started with, was the research. So we're actually moving on to character next week. Yeah. So we're just kind of plotting out a structure this week. And you can do this with third graders.
What are you going to do when one of the parents of the third graders come and say, "We don't believe that climate change is real. Why are you teaching this to our child?"
They're ones that are writing it. They could have chosen any weather disaster they wanted. You know, I think one of them has flooding, another, and they move to Hawaii, and then they decide to go to Alaska. I don't know. Like they're making it up. I can't remember all of them right now. There's another one that they go from like jungle land to. They're very good, these kids. They know so much. You just have to tell them where to put it, you know?
Yeah, you're just guiding and maybe making connections, helping them make connections so that it flows.
Yeah, I'm providing prompts like, "What does your character want?" You know, they can answer that question, but you have to ask it.
That's great. I'm really happy to hear that you're working with young people, because it's about a significant issue that our species and our planet faces, and it's also art. You know, it's, and we've talked about this in the past. I talk about this with a lot of guests on the show, you know, activism and art together. And kudos to you. And you must be having a good time. I'm sure you're not doing it for the money.
Well, it pays a little better than some other teaching jobs I have.
Excellent. That's good. I'm happy to hear that.
Not a lot, but a little. And there's professional development. It's actually a government research project that they're doing out of Philadelphia, but they hired a lot of teachers here in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Fantastic.
Through Catherine Cullen.
Oh, Catherine Cullen. She's great.
Yeah.
We're name dropping a lot of cool people from where we live in northeastern Pennsylvania. Folks outside of the area might not know these folks, but I'm sure you have people like this where you are too. Very intelligent, earnest activists as well as artists and
people who believe in the arts.
Yeah,
right?
and believe in humanity, the better parts of it. You know, it's so important for our communities to have that sort of person, and we can each be that sort of person to a certain extent. At least we can support their efforts, right?
Sure, I've done some advocacy. I wrote a letter for the Dramatist Guild to the new president and the vice president.
Joe Biden?
Yes. I said, for living in Joe Biden's own Scranton, Pennsylvania. I basically ended that with, I don't think Lackawanna County is more progressive than the United States of America.
It might be.
Like, we need an arts person on the cabinet. You know, we need to make sure that arts workers are being taken care of. You know, they haven't been able to work.
That's absolutely correct. And even, I mean, if you compare the budget at the national level for the amount that is earmarked for the arts in the United States as compared to other Western countries, at least Western countries, I know of those, I'm sure others as well, that, I'm talking about European countries in particular. The amount that we earmark in the United States for the arts is minuscule, especially when you compare it to what other countries in Europe, for example, earmark for their artistic endeavors at a federal level. And it's a shame.
Yeah.
And it's not healthy for society.
No. I think we learned that we can't get through something like a pandemic without art.
No.
You know, it was – but, I mean, I think we're seeing that. It was part of the inauguration. That was great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Normally, I wouldn't have watched an inauguration, although I did protest at one once.
Those
were the days. The second inauguration of George W. Bush, a bunch of us from Scranton went down to protest.
Were you there with Rage Against the Machine? I think they performed at that one outside, you know, close to the White House. They were fenced in. I remember.
Uh huh. Yeah, I didn't. I don't remember seeing them. I did. I wrote about this in the newspaper. Actually, I spent a little while with a couple of Australians at a bar off the parade route because I didn't want to stand on the parade route. Like, everybody was going down to anti-protest, but I was like, if I'm down here, it looks like I'm supporting him.
Right.
And why should I stand out in the cold for 2 hours? I'm just going to go watch it on TV.
Right.
So I left like the people that I went down there with, and I went in the bar and ordered a Hefeweizen or something and watched the inauguration coverage and talked to these two guys from Australia. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea. And then you got an article out of it.
I did. Yeah. And a lot of amazing pictures, but yeah.
And
I have my protest days, even though I don't do that quite so much anymore.
Well, you're in a different phase now, I suppose. I don't know. I mean, yeah. It's you're never too old to protest. You're not old anyway. You're a spring chicken, as they say.
It's not that I wouldn't. It's just that I haven't.
Yeah, well, the pandemic puts a little bit of a, you know, buzzkill on going out to protests.
Being around crowds just didn't seem like the right idea. I went down for the flag raising for Black History Month, and they raised the Pan-African flag, and there was a nice ceremony. You know, that's if it was just the flag, I wouldn't have gone. But I almost didn't go down to that because I'm like, are we all supposed to be doing this, standing around each other?
Right. And that's in your own city. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel like it's time yet. Not that we don't want it to be.
Oof.
Even going to teach in person is crazy.
Yeah, it is. And you hit on something that's really important. We all want this thing to be over, but it's not over. But it seems like people are starting to act as if it were. You know, I went to the garage today to drop off a vehicle, you know, a local garage. I hit a pothole, busted a strut.
Oh, yeah, man.
So I had to take it in. And I was wearing my mask. But there were like three other guys in there that were not wearing masks at all. And then someone said, one of the guys said, "Hey, you know who this is?" referring to me. And the guy who he was asked the question, said, how could I tell who he is? He's all masked up. Like trying to shame me almost, you know, it was weird.
Oh, yeah. You wuss.
Right. Exactly. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's a weird sort of situation when people are not taking things seriously, or you wonder if you're taking it too seriously. I mean, more than a half of a million people in this country have died because
of
the pandemic.
Immense.
It is.
Yeah.
So I think you need to take it seriously. Mm-hmm. But anyway, puppets, the pandemic, drinking with Australians in a bar during W2's inauguration, all good stuff. And you know, social media you wanted to talk about, I think, a little bit. You said you're creating an alternative to Facebook. Is that right?
I wish somebody would. Why aren't they?
Burbank book, perhaps?
I mean, what's the holdup?
I don't know. I mean, man.
Does anyone really like it anymore? Did you not see the great hack? And, like, it's terrible. And the algorithms are really bad. I just finally broke down and started paying WordPress $4 a month for my website because Facebook doesn't like WordPress, I realized. And anytime I posted anything from my website, it had the WordPress address. And no one saw it.
It just wouldn't show it?
It just, like, doesn't pop up in people's feeds. Wow. And I'd be like, man, I know it's not that nobody likes me anymore, but, you know, you don't have any responses to something. You feel a little – and I don't post everything, you know. So when I do share something, I would hope that somebody reads it. I'm not, like, putting stuff out there every day. Yeah, and it got to be really demoralizing. And I was going to be like, I'm just not going to post anymore, you know. But then – that's not right. You know, we're like, we need connection. Like, I need connection. I know I personally am struggling with relationships with people. And I don't want it to get worse. You know,
I know it's getting so bad that you're playing with puppets online to try to communicate your thoughts and concerns, Kitty Bell. It's getting bad.
I don't know what else to talk about, right? So, So I'm like, all right, so I bet if it comes from AliciaGrega.com and if it comes from KittyBurbank.com and not WordPress / something, you know,
maybe then maybe
people will see it. Right. So I'm like, I'm just going to see what happens. Yeah, maybe I can cancel this. It's $4 a month, whatever. Okay. So, yeah. So the first thing I posted, I was just like, and I said algorithm test. You know, right there. And I don't know if that swayed anybody to like the post, but a lot of people saw it. Not hundreds, but
I didn't see it.
Enough.
We're social media friends. I didn't see it.
Yeah. And I was kind of ripping off of Facebook's relationship status question, which I think is, how do you answer that? I guess it's easy for some people to answer it. They know. And that's cool. And I'm.
What do you mean, like single or married,
yeah,
or whatever?
I can't answer this question. What does it mean if I check that box? And it, you know, I don't know. Anyway,
you're saying it affects the logarithm and who's going to be connected with you if you say single?
No. I just wrote a poem about it. I wrote a poem about all the choices that aren't there. You know.
So you don't, what would you, like, if you had it, you don't know, what word would you use?
Well, I began with haunted, you know, and went from there. So,
relationship status, haunted. I love,
yeah.
I love.
That was the first thing that popped into my head. So it goes on from there, and there's like a list of like 30 things or whatever that I can't put on Facebook, and it does get to be a little silly. Like, I made myself laugh writing it. I was enjoying it. I was like, what's the weirdest thing I can say here? And and yeah, so people might have wanted to read that because they were curious to see what the rest was. But I mean, you don't go from 0 to 30 by accident. So yeah, so these algorithms are preventing people's stuff from being seen. Do you ever see anybody be like, I feel like nobody sees what I'm posting?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so sad. It's because they're not seeing them, you know, unless it's like a pretty smiling face a lot of times. Like, the algorithm just doesn't share it. They like pictures of people's faces.
Is that right? I see. I don't know how it works. I truly don't. But you are right. Oftentimes, it seems that you would figure more folks would be responding to something you put out there, and you wonder why not. I mean, maybe it's just because it's lame to the rest of the world and not to you. But I think the logarithms have something to do with it as well.
And yeah, the two posts I put out since I changed my website to, you know, my name URL. Have both, I feel seen enough.
Excellent.
And I mean, I don't want to be famous. I don't, that's not my thing.
You don't want to be fake famous?
I don't want to be, that's another documentary. I guess maybe I'm watching a lot of documentaries, about social media. I just want to connect with enough people that I'm healthy. I know that sounds really lame, but that's all I want. I want to feel connected to enough people that, you know, I want to get out of bed in the morning and I have the desire to make a positive difference in my community, because it's not just me, it's all of us. And I need to feel that to an extent. So.
You're listening to Troubadours and Rock on Tours with E.W. Conundrum Demure on WFTE Radio, Mount Cobb and Scranton, Pennsylvania. Community radio at its finest. I like that. I like that. You know, I mean, you start realizing, I think, or maybe it's the phase of life I'm in. You know, I'm older than I was, as most of us are, you know, each and every day, right? But I'm in my 50s, and I, you know, the things that maybe at one point I thought were corny, mm-hmm. I don't feel they're so corny anymore. I feel they're important, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, of course, maybe I've gotten corny, but I'm not talking about fluff or disingenuous, you know, sort of just shallow feeling of so that you can get attention or whatever, like pity or what have you. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you know, really connecting, as you put it, with individuals and understanding how ephemeral everything is, and how most people, except for those with major personality disorders, they really are affected by so many things in their day-to-day existence, and we just overlook it, and we get caught up in BS that is guided by those in control, you know, those who pull the levers of all the algorithms that run our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, and, you know.
And they don't, and people don't realize that they have the same fears as their neighbor.
Right.
You know, I get students submitting journals in my writing class. I make them do some, you know, like weird stuff. Like, what are you afraid of? And they're like, I don't want to write about this, but okay, you asked. And they're all afraid of the same thing. They all have the same anxiety. Like every single one of them is anxious.
Oh, yeah.
All of them. All
oh,
of
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
About this or about that. They're stressed out. They're afraid they're not going to be successful. In a way that I don't remember in college, I didn't care about that at all. I was just making plays, which maybe was my downfall, but I did not think about the future at all, you know, when I was that age, 18, 19,
well,
20.
Maybe you didn't realize it, you know, maybe it was all in your work.
Oh, yeah. Even that was mostly about the present tense.
Well, I
missed a lot. Do you ever think you missed a lot?
Oh, I think I'm missing stuff all the time. You know, all the time. The more I'm around, the more I see, the more I realize I don't see, and that I've overlooked or misunderstood so much. You know, recently there was a gentleman that passed that I knew pretty well. And I hadn't talked to him in a while, but I, you know, it really struck a chord with me because he, you know, I felt like I didn't appreciate him while he was gone. I mean, while he was here, until he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kinds of things often that make you realize, again, that, you know, people they're just human. They're, you know, they start at some point and it ends at some point, and there most everyone is, as you said, dealing with the same fears and joys and perplexed states, you know? I don't know. I really don't.
That's okay. The more we think we know, I mean, the more we find out, you know, that we didn't really know anything at all. So I'll talk about these Adam Curtis documentaries. I don't know if you know about them.
Yeah, I do. I did a little reading. We don't have a lot of time because we were off. But I do want to hear about them. I was doing some research. Go ahead. Go.
Well, no, it's just that I don't think I saw any of that footage in my whole life. I watched 6 documentaries, you know, in this series that Can't Get You Out of My Mind that just was released by the BBC. And I didn't really know who Adam Curtis is, but I looked him up. It was recommended by Mark Maron. So I had to go watch it. And it's mind blowing. It's all this stuff that you just didn't know anything about. I mean, unless maybe you studied. I mean, there's like footage from China and the Ukraine when I don't think those societies were very open, but it's a lot of history and it's very mind blowing. And the way he sort of collages things together it's artsy. It's really cool.
And what's the point? What's he trying to do with this series of documents?
He's trying to help us understand how we got to this point. And I don't think he overtly comes out and says it, but he kind of gets into the history of white supremacy in America. So you know why. Like, he doesn't need to tell you why. He's showing you that. There are other scenes just about government power. Like, there's some Nixon in there. And yeah, stuff about the Chinese American relationship, and then a lot about the Soviet Union, and there's a lot of Britain in there too, you know. And you realize how America centric we are in America when somebody from another country makes something and includes all these countries,
right? Not just
like
us.
We would just talk about the United States, you know, in our version of this documentary, but he's really like getting this global kind of stuff. And so there's stuff in there about colonialism and like when Britain invaded Iraq in the 1920s, like I didn't know anything about that. I'm like, what did they, but the way that it's done is, it's really cool.
Yeah, he's it makes you feel stupid, right? Unawares.
Yeah.
Again, it's Can't Get You Out of My Head. He's a Brit.
Mind.
Let me see. I'll look it up. Can't Get You Out of My Head is what I see.
Okay, that's right then.
Yeah, Can't Get You Out of My Head. Adam Curtis, English documentary filmmaker. And I read a little review in The Guardian, a British paper, about it after you mentioned. I'm going to check it out for sure.
And I watched it on YouTube, yeah.
You can watch it on YouTube? I'm going to check it. Last night, my wife and I were watching something on PBS, Soul, you know, with the gentleman, what's his name, Haslip, I think his name is, maybe Ellis Haslip. I could have his name wrong. It was late, and I was struggling to stay awake, but it was so compelling. And the point I'm trying to make, this was a documentary. It was a weekly show on Channel 13 out of New York City. And it started in 68, it ended in 73, and it really embraced the black experience and it questioned through poetry and art and intense interviews the state of black and brown people in the United States of America. This is back in the late 60s, early 70s, and it was groundbreaking, and it really helped African Americans and others, like others, you know how we categorize people that aren't a European American, others, feel like they had a place. And of course, the powers that be got nervous about it, and they shut it down. In particular, the power that I'm talking about was Nixon. You mentioned Nixon. And I got to thinking, when you look at how much of what is good and what is open in this country is shut down
by just a few small-minded, driven nut jobs, it is infuriating. And it happens over and over again. And someone like Haslip, Ellis Haslip, that's his name, is a brilliant person who has so much to offer our society. But someone as small as a Nixon will just shut it down. Mm-hmm. And it hurts our society. You know, Questlove had a little reflection in this documentary. He said, just imagine if that show was able to run for 25 years, how much it would have changed our society. Because it brought into people's households across the United States of America something that they had never seen before. White and black and all in between and outside of those boundaries. We're seeing something that is not focused on as part of this country's social fabric. And it would have put us forward in our understanding and our appreciation for our country. But a Nixon gets uncomfortable and he shuts it down. Gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's bad. I've learned a lot from the stuff that's come out this year, the One Night in Memphis and the Judas and the Black Messiah. Like I'm watching everything. And there's a lot that I'm learning as far as history goes.
Me too. And good luck with the third graders and teaching them through puppet tearing and the like. I'm very happy to hear that and very proud that we're associated, knowing the good work you're doing, as always, in the community, Kitty Bell Burbank. We're just about out of time, though. You have any words of wisdom, hope, humor to share with the listeners?
Just don't be fake famous, man. You know, if you're just put value out there, and if it happens, it happens, and whoever needs to see it is going to see it, and you have enough likes.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. You have enough likes. Thanks so much, Kitty Bell Burbank, and we'll be talking with you in a few months.
Okay.
It'll be warmer then.
Oh, I can't wait.
Me too. Take care.
We'll get there.
We will.
Okay. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies, 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 ladies. Ladies, 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 ladies. Ladies, 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 ladies. Ladies, 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 ladies. Ooh, my nation's on the lumen effect and the parallax view and the figure and the form and the revolving door that keeps turning out more and more good women like you. Yet another woman to whom I won't get through. Ooh, my nation's on the lumen effect and the parallax view and the figure and the form and the revolving door that keeps turning out more and more good women like you. Yet another woman to whom I won't get through. Ladies, 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 take it easy when he leaves me. Please be my guest to whatever I might have left in his kitchen cupboards, in the back of his bathroom cabinets. And oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, there's a dress in the closet. Don't get rid of it, you look good in it. I didn't fit in it, it was never mine. It belonged to the ex-wife of another ex of mine. She left it behind with a note, one line. It said, I don't know if I'm coming across, but I'm really trying. She was very kind. Ooh, that a cute little button head maniac. Ooh,
Three poems by Lawrence Ferlinghetti. For all I know, maybe she was happier. For all I know, maybe she was happier than anyone, that lone crone in the shawl on the orange crate train with the little tame bird in her handkerchief, crooning to it all the time, Mia Moscata, Mia Moscata. And none of the Sunday excursionists with their bottles and their blankets paying any attention, and the coach creaking on through cornfields so slowly that butterflies blew in and out. Nightlight. Night, night. Death's true self. Death's second self. Black is my true love's hair, yet all is despair. Black night. Black light. Death's true self. Black, black, black is my true love's hair, and all is despair. Night, night, death's second self, where all is empty, all is despair, all gone, all down, all despair, and gray is my true love's hair. Yet sun bursts forth upon the land, and a butterfly lights in it upon my hand, and lights these songs, and lights these songs in air. Retired ballerinas, Central Park West. Retired ballerinas on winter's afternoons, walking their dogs in Central Park West, or their cats on leashes, and cats themselves old high-wire artists. The ballerinas leap and pirouette through Columbus Circle, while winos on park benches, laid back like drunken Goodenoughs, hear the taxis trumpet together, like horsemen of the apocalypse, in the dusks of the gods. It is the final witching hour, when swains are full of swan songs, and all return through the dark dusk to their bright cells in high glass high-rises, or sit down to oval cigarettes and cakes in the Russian tea room, or climb four flights to back rooms in West Side brownstones, where faded playbill photos fall peeling from their frames like last year's autumn leaves.
Thank you, Dr. Pavice. Well done. And now, two more poems by the great Lawrence Ferlinghetti. This one's titled Loud Prayer. Our Father, whose art's in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Unless things change, the wigdom come and gone, thy will be undone on earth as it isn't heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, at least three times a day. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those lovelies whom we wish would trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation too often on weekdays, but deliver us from evil, whose presence remains unexplained in thy kingdom of power and glory. Oh, man! And a second poem by Lawrence Ferlinghetti titled Poetry as Insurgent Art. I am signaling you through the flames. I am signaling you through the flames. The North Pole is not where it used to be. Manifest destiny is no longer manifest. Civilization self-destructs. Nemesis is knocking at the door. What are poets for in such an age? What is the use of poetry? The state of the world calls out for poetry to save it. If you would be a poet, create works capable of answering the challenge of apocalyptic times, even if
This meaning sounds apocalyptic. You are Whitman, you are Poe, you are Mark Twain, you are Emily Dickinson and Edna St. Vincent Millay, you are Neruda and Mayakovsky and Pasolini, you are an American or a non-American. You can conquer the conquerors with words. Note to an administrator. I did what I did, and I think what I did is okay. You do what you do as you think through this snafu synthetic. Okay?
Searching for balance, praying for clarity. Must strip me naked, take this identity. Tell me it's unity. In Lakesh, I Lakin, I am you, you are me. Searching for balance, praying for clarity. Must strip me naked, take this identity. Tell me it's unity. In Lakesh, I Lakin, I am you, you are me. I wear clothes I like to hide, so no one knows where I'm made from. Deep in my soul, taken from home, so far we stroll. Deep in these roads, think we control this, we don't, but we could. I wish we would throw away these phones, get a bit more holy, see the world more slowly, take test my roses. Searching for balance, praying for clarity. Must strip me naked, take this identity. Tell me it's unity. In Lakesh, I Lakin, I am you, you are me. Searching for balance, praying for clarity. Must strip me naked, take this identity. Tell me it's unity. In Lakesh, I Lakin. I know nothing at all.
magical. And no, we don't know our potential. How could we when they lie? They cast spells and they try dropping bombs from the skies like we are not stars. Inside me there's a war. For balance, praying for clarity. Marsh, strip me naked. Take this identity. Tell me it's unity. In Lakesha, Lakin, I am you, you are me. Searching for balance, praying for clarity. Marsh, strip me naked. Take this identity. Tell me it's unity.
And there you have it, episode 410 of Troubadours and Raconteurs, with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. I'd like to thank those folks who made this episode possible. First and foremost, Kitty Bell Burbank, our associate producer, Dr. Michael Pavese, the great poet, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, and these musical artists: Django Reinhardt, Stefan Grappelli, Tito Puente, Tom Waits, Fiona Apple, Thelonious Monk, Green T. Peng, and of course, Brentford Marsalis and Terrence Blanchard, too. And I'd like to thank you for listening. Until next time, let's give it a go and do our best with this time. Take care.